Die groot trek saam Dobeenina Wesa tussen 3 en 6.
Saam met ons op die lyn vanmiddag Dr. Michael Mull, jy ken hom van die televisie af, die dokter wat vir ons alles sê wat ons moet weet, wanneer ons dit moet weet, soos wat ons dit moet weet. En hy sit op die oomblik in Amerika in Texas besig met 'n paar ander radiostasie related goedjies, maar hy join ons super vroeg van daai kant af en is lekker om hom saam met ons op die lyn te hê. How are you, Mr. Mull?
Dippy, I'm good, man. You said good afternoon. It's good morning from Dallas. It's lovely to chat to you guys.
What's the weather like over there? Because it is pouring.
It's actually warm. It's almost humid. It's crazy. So Dallas is just by 7 o'clock in the morning and it's now 7:15.
So we'll talk about you being in Dallas a little bit later on, Michael, but you love talking to people about health. In fact, it is one of the many careers, if I can say it like that, that you pursue. You're one of the busiest people that I've ever come across as a global speaker. And you mentioned to us that recently you did studies on weight loss and fasting. So why did you specifically decide to target that, the weight loss section? I mean, there's so many, it's like a million, multi-billion dollar industry. Is that even the reason why?
True, Nina. And by the way, I just got to comment on what you said about medicine being one of the careers. If my father was listening, he'd just like, oh my word, that was the one career I wanted for you. And now you're doing so many other different things. But so the number one news resolution in the world, Nina, is I want to lose weight. And that doesn't matter which country you're in, where you're from, everybody wants to lose weight. And has it worked despite being the number one resolution in the world? No, from the early 80s already. Obesity rates have skyrocketed. In fact, I think around about 2018, a global survey showed that 40%, I mean, that's billions of people around the world are overweight. And in South Africa, in fact, the statistic is even worse. Our stats showed that 63% of South Africans, two-thirds of us, are overweight or obese. So it's a huge issue. And not only us, but kids, our kids' obesity rate in this country is 13%. The global average is 5%. So it really is a worrying statistic. And when it comes to obesity, it's a condition that is strongly associated with risks of heart disease, of stroke, and even certain cancers. So it's not something that's just a little bit of extra weight. It is a serious, serious health issue. That's why I've been looking into it.
Well, when you speak about weight loss, Michael, then everyone has at some stage in their life tried to lose weight, go on a diet, do it for health reasons or whatever. The new fad, if I can call it that, is now fasting. People starting to use fasting as a way of being healthier and obviously losing weight as well. Why is fasting the new craze? Why is it beneficial?
Dupi, you mentioned a fad. My skin crawls like, oh, it's not a fad. There's good science behind intermittent fasting. A fad sounds like it's going to come and go and next month it'll be the next thing, you know. But there is lots of great science behind intermittent fasting. And maybe just before I answer that question, here's a question that is going to get me into a lot of trouble on air. So if you feel like, you know, canceling this or not, the question is, why do you get fat doctors? Okay. And I can ask that because I am one. So I'm not criticizing doctors. But the question is really, why do you get fat doctors? I mean, these are guys who, you know, they've worked hard, they're disciplined. I mean, it takes quite a bit to get a medical degree. So it can't be the fact that they are undisciplined. They're also experts in human physiology. So they know what causes and they know what we should do to treat, obesity. And since nobody wants to be fat, in particular, those that have both the knowledge and the dedication to stay thin, why are there fat doctors? And the answer, quite simply, is the standard prescription for weight loss is eat less, move more. And it sounds reasonable, but it doesn't work. And again, you know, perhaps you can say, well, people wanting to lose weight aren't following the advice, or the mind is willing, but the flesh is weak. But again, all the self-discipline and dedication needed to complete an undergraduate degree, medical school, internship, community service, Zoomer's years in public healthcare, and then usually further study, it's hardly conceivable that overweight doctors lack the willpower to follow their own advice, which pretty much leaves the possibility that the conventional advice when it comes to weight loss is simply wrong. And it means our entire understanding of obesity is flawed. And given the current epidemic in our country, I really do think it is. So that might get me into a lot of trouble, but it really is an important point. And then to get to your question, Dupia, sorry, you know, shut me off, cut me down. But you talked about intermittent fasting and why it's so important. Well, firstly, maybe what is intermittent fasting? Simply put, it's making a conscious decision to skip a meal, all right, on purpose. And that's different to you skipping lunch because you didn't have time, or breakfast because you were running late for work. Rather, intermittent fasting is a planned dietary intervention. And it's been around for many years, but only recently, here comes the word fad again, has gained popularity. But done correctly, this way of eating or not eating has several health benefits. It includes weight loss. It improves your glucose control. It lowers your diabetes risk. It improves your mental clarity, that fog that you guys don't get, but everyone else gets at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That just disappears. You get increased energy levels. So there's lots of good around intermittent fasting.
So how does it work to give you all those benefits that you just mentioned? Because, I mean, for years also we've heard, you know that thing where they said you have to have 6 meals a day, or, you know, snack in between. That was, that was what was being told to us is the best way to go. And now this is kind of completely the opposite. You're not supposed to put your body in starvation mode. That's why you have to have 6 meals a day, etc.
Exactly. And you mentioned it, starvation versus fasting. And maybe we can talk to that in a moment. But I gave that advice to patients, and it is wrong, Nina. It really, this sort of grazing, they called it, regularly snacking to keep your blood sugar consistent, it does not work, and it's not good advice. So how does fasting work as opposed to starving? And by the way, starving is what you describe, a little bit of food, you know, every once in a while, as opposed to fasting, which is no food for a long period, right? That's the difference. So your body operates differently when it's feasting to when it's fasting. When it's feasting, your body gets its energy directly from what you eat. So, you know, your body takes the easy way out because it has all this readily available, easy to burn energy, thanks to the food you ate. Your body will choose to use that as energy rather than the fat that you and I have stored. And that's especially true if you've just eaten carbohydrates or sugar, because your body prefers to burn sugar as energy before anything else. It's easy energy. When you and I are fasting, you don't have all that free energy floating around, so your body must pull energy from fat stores around your body. And that's where the weight loss starts coming.
So how does the body know to choose between the different fuels?
Okay, so that is the question. And it has to do with pretty much the most important hormone when it comes to obesity. So forget calories in, calories out, eat less, move more. The big issue with weight loss is insulin. And working behind the scenes in both of these scenarios is insulin. Insulin's job is to help your cells absorb and use energy, glucose. Once your cells have had their full of energy, insulin then stores the leftover glucose or sugar as fat. And the more sensitive your cells are to insulin, the more efficient they are at breaking down food and using it for energy, and therefore less is stored as fat. That's everyone's ultimate goal. On a normal day, so in other words, a non-fasting day, if you like, insulin sensitivity is low because your cells will see enough glucose in the bloodstream, and therefore that glucose is more likely to get stored as fat. But after intermittent fasting, your cells immediately become more sensitive to insulin. In other words, intermittent fasting can help you teach your body to use the food it consumes more efficiently, and as a bonus, helps teach your body to burn fat as well.
Mm-hmm. Michael, so you mentioned insulin now. What happens if people struggling with insulin resistance want to attempt intermittent fasting? Is this something that they can also look at?
So what fasting does is super sensitizes your cells to insulin. So it's a great way, if you already had insulin resistance, which a lot of people have, and that's often the cause of that obesity, that increases your sensitivity and improves your body's reaction to insulin. So a really good way of dealing with insulin issues.
So is there like a downside to intermittent fasting, or are there certain people who can't participate in intermittent fasting?
So Nina, there are a few things that you should be aware of before you go fast. So hunger, that's the big one. That's usually the biggest issue. If you eat 3 hours normally, or you're snacking all day, your body's going to start to get hungry every few hours as it learns and becomes used to expecting or receiving food. But once you retrain your body to not expect food all day, every day, or, you know, first thing in the morning, that's what we do as a family, we skip breakfast, then those side effects become far less of an issue. So that's the only real downside. In the beginning, headaches isn't as common, but they appear very quickly as soon as your body adapts. So I think the real key is to make smart food choices when you do eat. So nutrient-dense options, nuts, eggs, cheese, veggies, protein, all your best choices, because they don't cause any radical blood sugar spikes. It also causes your appetite to spike. And then you ask if it is for everyone. It works for most people, but there are a few groups that I would say should stick to regular mealtime. So if you're underweight, don't do this. If you're pregnant or breastfeeding, obviously don't do this. Your child needs extra nutrients. If you're under 18, again, you need those nutrients to grow, so be careful of that. And I would say that's it.
I think that would have been my next question is, it like any other weight loss program we've ever had in the history, it almost sounds too good to be true. And this is, like you said as well, an age-old concept of intermittent fasting. People have been doing it around the world in many religions for many years. But are there any scenarios where fasting can be bad for you, except now for the ones that you mentioned, people with certain medical conditions, maybe?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, suffering from an existing condition, diabetes, chronic medication. Yeah, if you are concerned and you have a chronic condition, always speak to a doctor before making any tweaks to your existing diet.
Okay, Michael, so now we can get to the part where you're in Dallas talking to us all the way from there. Can you share with our listeners what you're doing in Dallas?
Absolutely. So as Truth TV, we've been selected amongst eight other finalists from around the world to be part of a pitch competition. We're going to be putting Truth TV in front of a number of investors across the states to put money towards growing Truth TV, taking it to the next level, helping us to scale. So I'm in Dallas for essentially a Shark Tank competition, only it's called Lion's Den.
Very cool. So with the Easter weekend on the way, Michael, what special programming will Truth TV have for its viewers?
Do you know what we've done as a family for many, many years, Nina, is we have watched The Passion of the Christ over Easter. And it's a hard movie to watch. It's tear-jerking. It's really difficult, but it's so important that we're reminded of what Jesus went through, you know, over this weekend. I mean, this is the most important weekend for us as believers and as Christians. It's everything. And so as a family, we've done that. And on Truth TV, we are the only streaming platform. In fact, I think we're the only platform currently in South Africa that is showing The Passion of the Christ over Easter weekend. In fact, you can watch it any time on Truth TV. And so for us, we're just really excited by sorry, that's my wife calling me on the side. I don't know if you can hear anything ringing. we're just really excited to be having The Passion, particularly over Easter. I just want to encourage as many families to watch that. It is a difficult movie to watch. There are some violent parts, but it is so true to life, and it's just an amazing story of what Jesus went through for you and I.
It is so true, because I was telling Dupi yesterday, I remember when I went to see it in the movie house, when it just came out, I literally couldn't walk out of the movie theater because I was crying so much. It was uncontrollable. It was.
And Nina, you and I both, man, I sat there for I don't know how long afterwards, just in the darkness kind of going, I can't. It's just too much. So,
yeah, you mentioning watching it with your family, one of my previous cell leaders, he used to watch it also with his family, and his son was very young. I think he was not even in grade one yet. And people were like saying, you know, how can you watch it with your small son? And he was like, he's got to see what really happened. And obviously, he's there to explain things to him and so on. But, you know, we've got to see how real it was, because sometimes it just becomes this, you know, little Jesus story, and you forget what he went through for us. And then it loses some of its power, right?
Absolutely. You know, there's a scene in The Passion which just moves me every single time. And it's Jesus with a cross on his shoulder, walking through the streets after having been, flogged and beaten to within an inch of his life. And they show you that, and they talk about that. But his mother is watching him from a distance, and she can't reach him because of the crowds. And at one point, he drops the cross, and there's a gap that allows Mary to get to him and just to kind of dab his face with a cloth. And it's the most beautiful scene where she as she runs to him, she imagines and she remembers Jesus as a little boy tripping over some stairs and holding him and kind of protecting him as a little boy. And here he was as a man. And she gets to him, and she just holds his face in her hands, and he looks at her. And you can just see this resolve in Jesus' eyes. And he looks at him and he says, "See, Mom, I'm going to save the day." And he stands up with that cross and kind of moves forward. Oh, man, it just gives me goosebumps every time.
I've got goosebumps too. And what, sorry, just one more thing about the movie is it just makes him, or he was portrayed so human, like, you know, the those little interactions with kids and with people where he makes jokes with people. And that is also what I love about the movie. It's just so real. And, I mean, he must have had the best sense of humor because God still does. And it just, you know, it was just portrayed so beautifully.
No, you're so right, Nina. And I love the fact that you describe Jesus like that. I mean, in fact, that's part of Truth TV's vision is we're not a preaching and a teaching platform. We're a storytelling platform, so you're going to get great stories on Truth TV. Because if you think about how Jesus, how his ministry or what his ministry was about, he didn't walk around with highbrow philosophical rhetoric or, you know, with moral advice. People would ask him a theological question, and Jesus would answer with, "Once upon a time." You know, he just told stories. Stories changed the world. And that's really what Truth TV is all about, is telling many more stories in many more ways to many more people. And the passion is one of them.
Michael, so you've given us a great idea for the family and for Easter weekend. We're really looking forward to us. All of the staff here at Groot FM, we're not new to Truth TV. We all have our subscriptions. But if you don't have Truth TV and you're only hearing about Truth TV now for the first time, how do we get it?
Dupi, thanks for asking, man. It's as simple as going to truthtv.com. That's as simple as this. It is as you say it, and sign up. You've got 14 days free to watch. You can watch The Passion this weekend for free and then unsubscribe before we take any money from you. But if you would like to stay on Truth TV, it's going to cost you 129 Rand a month, and you have access to all of our movies and all of our series and all of our kids' content. There's some great kids' content. We have Superbook, and we have a particular version in Afrikaans as well. So look out for that on Truth. Lots to see.
Awesome. Thank you, Michael. Thank you so much for your time, and good luck there in the Shark Tank, hey? May you have favor.
Thank you so much, Nina. Thanks, Dupi. Lovely chatting to you guys, man. Go well. God bless.
Kuier maandag tot vrijdag saam Dupi en Nina, 3 tot 6, net hier op die Groot Trek, op Groot FM 90.5.